on ESPN Radio.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, Dome?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together with Jalen Jacoby, what is it that we do?
Give the people what they want.
Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you got through the week. Enjoy the weekend. And we start with a news story, Jalen, that could literally change your life. This could be a life-changing moment for you. And, of course, I'm talking about the number three pick in the NFL draft. Your Detroit Lions have it, and you want them to take Tua. And there's news about Tua. Tua had his hip reevaluated on Thursday, and the results were, quote, overwhelmingly positive, an avalanche of positivity. Just the hip was just rainbows and little children giggling. It was just so positive, the results of this. And this morning, Rex Ryan said that Tua was the biggest gamble in the history of the draft. Jalen, why do you want your franchise to take this gamble?
Coach was on Get Up trying to come with the flaming hot takes. I didn't like that he called Amari Cooper a turd at all. I will say this about Tua. Going into this season, it reminds me of the song that Jay and Too Short had. It was all good just a week ago. Coming into this year, did you know who Joe Burrow was?
Yes, but he was not celebrated.
Correct. He was not even amongst the Heisman candidates preseason and went on to have one of the most amazing seasons of a quarterback and won the Heisman Trophy. So I'm not taking nothing away from him. He deserved that number one spot walking, going into the NFL healthy. But Tua, I remember the first time we saw him, Jacoby. Nick Saban believed in him so much, he put him in at halftime of the national championship
game. And he replaced a Jalen, too. He replaced a Jalen.
And you know I was disappointed and heartbroken when that took place. And then all of a sudden he comes in, he dazzles, and throws the game-winning touchdown. Mm-hmm. And so that's still the same player. Of course, he has more of an injury concern because he has pre-existing ones he's dealing with. But all in all, and correct me if I'm wrong, is it quarterback the most important position in football?
It's not even close. It's not even close to close.
So why do I hear sometimes pundits and or former coaches or front office people try to grapple with the difference between taking somebody third at that position or ninth? If you want to grab him, just go grab him. If you feel like he's going to be a game changer. And it would just hurt my heart if I have to watch Tua go somewhere else and be an all-pro for years to come when my squad had a chance to draft him number three overall.
Just for your own mental health, I hope they get Tua. Honestly. I don't want to have to deal with you if they don't have Tua. Honestly, that's how I really feel. I do think it's the best decision for the franchise. I think it makes perfect sense. It's what I would do if I was running the franchise. But honestly, personally, I just hope they get Tua because I don't want to hear about it for the next 10 years. Literally 10 years when he's winning championships for the Dolphins if they don't take Tua.
Hey, I want to plant one more seed. It kind of reminds me of Kevin McHale and Danny Ainge on the golf course doing a deal for KG to send him to the Celtics to become a member of the Big Three. Don't be surprised if the Lions front office isn't willing to play caddy for the New England Patriots who have so many picks because our decision makers other than ownership came from the Patriot way and try to help them get in position to grab Tua without us even taking him. Like if that happened, like that's like seriously, I'm gonna be Fred Sanford on that one for real if that happened. I'm just putting it out there.
Well, Jalen, it is now time for soft move or boss move. Jalen, Peyton Manning is one of my favorites. I do love Peyton Manning. I love the work that he's doing with us at ESPN. I love the work they put in his career in the football field. But someone took us behind the curtain. That gentleman by the name of Ty Law, who's a famous, you know, great secondary player for the championship Patriots and other teams. And he said that at the Pro Bowl, Peyton Manning would do the following quote. Peyton would try to get you. Once you get to the Pro Bowl, you're on the same team. Peyton tried to get you drunk and then try to dig in your brain. What did you see? Why did you do this? It's on me. He tried to feed you all these damn Mai Tais. Jalen Rose, the question is, soft move or boss move, getting your teammates and your comrades drunk at the Pro Bowl to get secrets you can use against them in the regular season?
Well, I love some Mai Tais. No question. That's my favorite.
Jim, one thing about Jalen Rose, he loves sugary, really sweet drinks. Loves sweet drinks.
And both of these are my guys for different reasons. Ty Law, Hall of Famer, fellow Michigan alum, lockdown corner. And Peyton Manning, you know, I was in Indianapolis multiple years while he was still playing there. And I remember being at one of their practices and just watching him doing the no huddle. And I was like, that's the sheriff right there. He's barking out orders. People was running in motion. It was like organized chaos. I was like, that's the sheriff right there. He's not the first person to be accused of that. There's a gentleman who has a documentary coming on ESPN on April 19th. And Jeff Van Gundy, as the head coach of the Knicks, put this on wax. How MJ would get with the opponents, take them to the casinos, champagne and campaign with them, and basically do his version of that as well. The best players in the game do that. LeBron just changed the dynamic because either he defeated aging dynasties like the Pistons in Detroit or the Big Three in Boston, he basically deflated the other Hall of Famers that played in this same conference. Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Carmelo's his boy. All of those guys go to the same Hall of Fame. You'd have thought playing in the same conference, they would have had some playoff battles against one another. And so this is not the first time I've heard that from a great player in any league.
Well, Jalen, I'm really glad you brought up Michael Jeffrey Jordan because obviously on April 19th, the Last Dance documentary, 10-part documentary, is going to be released by ESPN, directed by our friend Jason Ayer. So we have a countdown to The Last Dance. We will give you MJ content every single day leading up to The Last Dance. Here's Jalen Jacoby's Last Dance countdown. And today I wanted to focus on the legacy, not of his on-court accomplishments or his off-court behavior, but the legacy that he will leave behind that I think will echo forever, will echo for infinity, and that is the Jordan sneaker line and the Jordan sneaker brand. It is far and away the most successful signature line in the history of signature lines. It launched its own brand that competes with its father. It's like a kung fu movie where apprentice takes out the master, Nike and Jordan I'm talking about. So, Jalen, I'm not a huge Jordan guy personally, what I wear on my feet, but you know what? I've got all the ones. I love Jordan 1s. So my question for you is, what impact did the Jordan sneaker line have on your life, and which is your favorite Jordan sneaker that ever came out?
So this topic is a lot more controversial than you may realize, because in order to be that brand ambassador in the 90s, he had to be somebody that didn't have an opinion socially and politically. And that rubbed a lot of people, in particular in the black community, the wrong way, especially when he used the line Republicans buy shoes as well. And so there came a line of demarcation for so many people at the time, especially in the late 80s, who were putting on and embodied the culture. Bad Boys, Fab Five, UNLV Running Rebels. I'm not going to continue the name because I know I'm going to leave people out. But this was how you started to usher hip hop and rap music into sports. At this same time, it became almost a melting pot. And so that's what made the transition to a guy like Allen Iverson coming into the league so very important, because he was the MVP level player, but he never seemed to compromise his culture in order to chase a dollar. And a lot of people felt like MJ did that. As it relates to shoes, oh, they were dope. I'll never forget playing against Georgia Tech, Hall of Fame game, wearing a pair of Jordans. I went off. And in high school, Nike. College, Nike. So therefore, Jordans, Bo Jacksons, Barclays, Huaraches, Charles, Deion Sanders, like all day. That's what I was rocking. You get a letter of intent, but in theory, you get a shoe contract. You're just not getting paid. And so I'll also never forget going to Chicago when Jordan was at his apex. This is early 90s. We in the Nike store, and they got like this big, you know, celebration of Michael Jordan, like all of his shoes, all of his jerseys and all of that. And then I look over to the right, Jacoby, and I look a little closer. It said Fab Five Nikes. And it had a pair of Huaraches up there. I was like, yo, on one hand, I was like, that's dope. And I wanted to celebrate it. But on the other hand, I felt like I was being taken advantage of. So lastly, as a Detroit Piston fan and a diehard 313er, it was in my blood to root against Jordan every year. And as he ascended, he had to overcome Bird winning three straight MVPs and three championships in the 80s. Magic doing the same and winning five championships in the 80s. The Bad Boy Pistons winning back to back. And then it was his turn. And when he took his turn in those Jordans, Jumpman symbol, so very iconic. As you mentioned, it became a branch in its own with Brand Jordan. It's so very legendary. No athlete ever would get anywhere close to the influence and the sales that Michael Jordan has had on shoes. So much so, they used to bring 100 pairs and put them in the hood and make 1,000 people stand outside, and people ended up shooting and killing each other for them.
I mean, one thing I will say about the Jordan brand is while we always are consistently celebrating it and its iconoclastic presence in all cultures, I will say this. Outside of Jordan's signature line, they haven't really come out with a lot of dope sneakers. It seems like the ones that they don't make for Jordan, I mean, the Carmelo had a few that I really, really liked. Chris Paul had a couple that were all right. Russell Westbrook has a couple that are all right. But that's one interesting thing about Zion is, like, it seems like the Jordans are the priority and everything else is secondary, not just sort of in their design focus, but also sort of in society. And I would love to see what they do with Zion moving forward. We're also going to move forward, Jim, another story in the NBA. And, you know, it's not the off season, but, you know, there's no basketball action going on. And Giannis Antetokounmpo said that he has no access to a court and he's not playing basketball. I don't know, Jay. Some tells me if I was, I don't know, either one or two in the MVP race, if there was potential for the NBA to come back, that I would find a way, some way, somehow, while following social distancing guidelines, to play basketball if I am one of the best basketball players in the NBA. Why isn't Giannis playing basketball?
Sounds really simple to me. Living in an apartment. First thing that comes to mind, that's the reason. And if that's the case, can't use the weight room, can't use the gym. It's cold outside in Milwaukee, starting to warm up like it is on the East Coast. And since we're social distancing, you know what players don't do anymore? Hoop outside. They don't hoop outside no more. See,
there's a gym somewhere for the MVP of the NBA. There's a gym somewhere for the MVP of the NBA. Do you know how much money is on the line? How much is on the line for this franchise, for this player, for this league? Giannis versus LeBron is what we are all rooting for, not just in the MVP, but in the NBA Finals. And we need Giannis to be tuned up if and when the NBA comes back. I would be putting some jump shots up. I'm considering putting jump shots up for the return of my rec league. Somebody tells me the NBA MVP should be putting some jump shots up for the return of the National Basketball Association. Call me crazy, but if I was Giannis, I'd be playing basketball some way, somehow.
Ownership, I'm pretty sure, have a gym at their crib or a way to help him get one. But it's in a tough climate right now. And Giannis is enjoying his family and he's socially distancing like we all should.
You can still get in the gym and get some shots up if you're socially distancing or not. Jim, we're going to move on. there's some reports about a young man in the NBA by the name of Trae Young. And Trae Young and his coach, Lloyd Pierce, maybe not be seeing eye to eye. Obviously, the future of this franchise is Trae Young and some of the young core that they have around him. What do you think about this report?
So, a tale of two cities. And this has nothing to do with Lloyd and Trey's relationship. This has something to do with you in the league now. Who did he get traded for?
He didn't technically get traded for Luka Doncic, but in theory, in essence, he was traded for Luka Doncic.
Okay, now, when you looked in February at the All-Star game, weren't they both there and present?
Oh, absolutely. They had, both of them had wonderful seasons and went 1-2 in the Rookie of the Year a season ago.
Now here's the line of demarcation, however. Which conference is tougher, the West or the East?
The Western Conference is, sir.
Giannis, I mean, one team, Luka's team is entrenched in the playoff race. What about the Hawks?
Hawks, they're entrenched in the race for the number one pick in the NBA draft.
That's all it is. Collins missed 20 games getting suspended. And I like what they're trying to do with their team. And I do think the Hawks are going to show a lot of promise next season. But this season, they didn't get it done on paper. And so there's always going to be some back and forth, in particular between the best player and the head coach of quote-unquote not seeing eye to eye, because the professional tension is going to exist until you meet your goals.
Absolutely. You know one thing they did that was sneaky? They got Clint Capella. Like, he didn't play because he had a foot injury, but I do like the addition of Capella to this lineup, and they did play themselves in a position to pick up a very good player in the draft. I you know what? I don't think the Hawks – I don't even think they'll make the playoffs next year. But you know what? I like this team in, like, 2023, 2024.
They'll make the playoffs next year.
I like that.
They definitely make the playoffs next year.
I can see it happening. Jalen, there was an innovative idea about the game of baseball that is one of those, like – it's like putting wheels on a suitcase. It's like, why didn't we think of this before? I really like this idea from the Dodgers' Justin Turner. Here's what he said – about changing sort of the quote-unquote overtime rules in baseball. So the following quote, instead of playing 17 innings, you get one extra inning, basically the 10th inning, and if no one scores, then you go to a home run derby. I love this idea so much. It mimics sort of like an NHL-style shootout. This, to me, would improve Major League Baseball. Do I have to write a strongly worded email to the powers that be in Major League Baseball in order to make this happen? Shout out to Justin Turner for the idea. What?
Can it all be so simple?
It is so simple.
Like,
it's a no-brainer, Jalen. This is a no-brainer.
I don't mean to be the person to tell a baseball player that I really respect and has so much intellect how very dead wrong he is. And I'll say it to you. Both of you are.
What?
Let me get to, first off, how many games go 17 innings? Very
few. But if you ever been to one of those 12, 13, 14 inning games, you're like hostage. You're like stuck there because it's an intense game and it's close, but you know you don't want to be there. You're on hour four, hour five. You've had six hot dogs. Like, no. And they stop serving beer in the seventh inning, but it's the 14th inning. No one wants to be there, but you feel stuck. They hold you hostage in this sport. A home run derby would be much, much better. You know what? I know you're going to disagree with me, but you don't feel it in your heart of hearts. If you were there in the stands, you would love the idea of a home run derby to finish the game instead of potentially sitting there for 6 hours being hot.
Well, a couple of things. One, you definitely have the option to get up and leave, so you're not forced to stay. Also, how many players in baseball feel like competing in the home run derby affects their swing when they return to playing for their normal squad?
Oh, come on.
So much so that they declined to do so. That's almost like saying at the end of an NBA game, we're going to have a three-point contest to decide who's going to win.
No,
that's the equivalent. I don't like the idea at all. It makes a mockery of the game, and I would not be in favor of a home.
You know what? Justin Turner, I see you. See, me and you, we're thinking outside the box. We got to get boomers like this guy. You know what I mean? We got to get boomers like this guy to get on our level. And you understand, when you break the mold, when you have a truly original, innovative idea, there's going to be naysayers like my partner, Jalen Rose. Justin, I see you. I'm going to get this done. I'm going to write a strongly worded email or just a quick tweet that will get ignored by the Major League Baseball. One of the two. We'll see what happens. We have another baseball story in the show, Jalen Rose, and this one really hit home for me. Texas Rangers pitcher James Jones suffered an injury to his right knee, like a bad injury. And it happened during quarantine during the coronavirus. The 31-year-old left-hander suffered the injury when he tripped on one of his son's toys. Jalen, I've been in the house, exclusively in the house.
On this. I think you should just go ahead and cook on this one. You're the expert.
I can't tell you. Yesterday, I stepped on a tack in my son's room. So mad. And yesterday, this might not sound like much, but it was a small bead of like one of my daughter's like jewelry, like homemade jewelry things. A small bead, but it was facing up like a wheel. Stepped on that thing with all 280 pounds of my weight. It hurt so much. I thought it went through my foot. I thought I was going to have to go to the hospital and take a bed away from someone suffering the coronavirus because I was going to have to get it amputated. And then today, parents know this one. It was Ryder from Paw Patrol. It's when you put all your weight on it. You know, when you're walking, it's kind of like when you don't see a curb coming and you just kind of almost fall on your face. I just put all my weight right on Ryder from Paw Patrol. And Ryder from Paw Patrol was just pushing back in the nerves in my bottom of my foot. Like, honestly, I almost cried. And that's just within the last 24 hours. So, James Jones, I just want to say to you, I feel you, man. It ain't fair. It ain't fair. Next. No, we got to talk about it, Jalen. The impact of the coronavirus has just sent reverberations into all aspects of our life, our health, loved ones. Many people I know have various sort of intensity of the disease. The economy is not going to rebound for months, years, a decade, who knows. But there is also one ramification of the coronavirus outbreak here in America that we need to discuss in this program. Tekashi's going to get out early. Tekashi 6ix9ine, he's sentenced to 2 years. I don't think he's out yet, but he's going to get out early. Jalen, you think he's going to get a haircut? Like, what does he do? Does he get a haircut? Now the masks are in, so he'll be wearing like a full mask so no one can see the face tattoos. How does Tekashi 6ix9ine live as a free man in this society?
Well, he's become infamous. And if he needed to escape, this is his chance to do it. He should walk right from the correctional facility and go straight to the airport. That's exactly what he should do and fly as far away as he can with a one-way ticket because there's so many fat neck boys walking the face of the earth that are not happy with him. That would be my advice.
Yo, I love the idea that he was going to go into witness protection program. It's like, well, not hard to recognize, not hard to pick out in a crowd. He has the numbers 6ix9ine tattooed literally all over his face. And all over his hands and all over his body. But quarantine is good for him. No one's on streets. No one's going anywhere. If you are going to be Tekashi 6ix9ine and get out of jail while everyone is literally mandated to stay inside, it's probably not a bad time for him. Moving on, Jalen, we have some very important news that matters. Jalen. Here in New York City, there's a wonderful tradition that me and my family have been partaking in. It's at 7 o'clock every single night. People go to their windows and they give a round of applause to the healthcare workers of this great city that have been stretched to their capacity and will continue to be so for weeks, if not months. And in Denver, Colorado, something similar was organized for people that are lonely during this quarantine. So at 8 p.m., they go to their windows. I can't even keep it together. And they howl. A group howl like lone wolves searching for their pack. They howl. Will you be going to your window at 8 p.m. and howling out the window in search of your pack?
Well, the one thing I always tripped off in my family is I was the only person that couldn't whistle. Whether it was like this or whether it was like this, I wanted to do it so bad. My late great Uncle P could do it. My brother Bill could do it. Uncle Lee can. I was the only one that couldn't whistle. But I noticed something about ow, 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 howling kind of give me a headache.
Howling gives you a headache?
Yeah, it kind of gives me a headache.
What about screaming, give the people what they want every single day at the beginning of the show? Sometimes holding the note for like 35 seconds. That doesn't give you a headache?
No, it just makes me short of breath and thirsty.
That's fine. So we're all trying to stay in shape during this, social distancing era. Some call it quarantine. It's hard. Everyone's looking at their phones, trying to look at different IG live workouts and, you know, using different things around the house to stay in shape with. And Alabama is tracking the fitness of their football players by using Apple Watches. Jalen, this is overdoing it to me. Like, I don't want to be remotely checked on by my coaches or the strength and conditioning coach, who is brand new, by the way. I don't want that. I'm taking the Apple Watch off if I play for Alabama. Would you do the same?
No, this is a boss move, and it's intelligent leadership by the Alabama program. And it's utilizing resources that college football endlessly has in order to do whatever it takes to make sure each player can maximize their potential. You just said earlier in this show that if Giannis didn't find a way to get to a gym, you'd be disappointed. Yep. This is just the opposite. This is Alabama making sure that they're not only working out, but using the advancements in technology to track how they're working out. It's no different from the Peloton bike or anything else. Somebody just tracking what you're doing.
Yo, Jay, you know what I figured out? You know what I would do? It's like you can track how many calories I burn and how many steps I take and how far I jog. But you can't track how many calories I'm eating because I'm going in during the quarantine. I'm going in the kitchen. I'm eating six meals a day. So go ahead, coach. You can track me all day. See how many calories I burn.
I can only imagine if when I was in college, my coaches could have given me something to track my behavior when I was not in the building.
So, Jalen, on this program, we always say that we give the people what they want. And every single day, we'll be taking answers from our questions on our Twitter content, our Twitter page, and our IG page, both of which are Jalen and Jacoby. Follow them both on Twitter and IG. We ask a question every day, and we review your answers. And the first question we had was, what's the best thing about the quarantine? Let's go positive. A lot of negativity going on. So we went positive. And the best response we had is from 8@19. And he says, wearing nothing but basketball shorts and Nike slides all day, every day. Jalen, have you put jeans on since the quarantine?
I have not. And one of the things I want to acknowledge for me and for everybody out there, I would deem that the best thing is the quality time you get a chance to spend with your significant other and your kids. So many times people either live to work or work to make a living, and you get so wrapped up in that wheel called life that continues to churn, that adults need to do what they got to do to take care of their family. And so now you're getting that quality time. You like, I'm sick of my family. I hear you say it every day. Are you excited to be at home? Are you ready to escape?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because the last response that we got that we'll be featuring is from Alan Pierce on Twitter. And he said that the best thing about the quarantine was just being able to spend time with my kids. And I will say this about that. Being locked in this Manhattan apartment with three children under the age of six. A lot of high highs and low lows. It's a roller coaster. And much like a roller coaster, it's scary. You feel out of control. You never know if you're going to die or how you're going to die. But when you get off, you want to do it again for some reason. So I will say that.
Hold on. Only tells the people part of the story. Let me say the second part of the story.
I was going positive.
Tell the world how Juan has been chefing it up for you and the kids every day. Tell me some of the things he cooked this week. Tell me.
Pot roast last night was out of control. Cooked it on low for hours and hours and hours. Like, I smelled it at like 2 o'clock, and we ate it at like 7 o'clock. She just took some frozen shrimp, didn't look nothing, had like ice on it and stuff. Man, fast forward 45 minutes, shrimp and garlic, souffle, a little kale in there. And kale tastes terrible. Somehow my wife makes it taste great. throw that on top of some linguine. Man, we've done so much. She made some ramen noodles because you got to just see what you got in there. Took some ramen noodles, took some steak, threw the steak in there, ramen noodles, took some vegetables, threw that in the ramen noodle soup. The kids loved it. I loved it. She had the kids cook us something called pizza soup. It's basically ragu with pasta, but the kids don't know that. They think it's called pizza soup, and they've got to make it with her. It has been so good eating around this home. So big shout out to my wife. And at the end of the show, I do want to say this. The Emmy that you see behind me, you see this Emmy award right behind me?
I do. I see it.
That ain't my Emmy. That's my wife's Emmy. I win an Emmy. Jalen, we will be back.
I got to give one shout out. I got to give a shout out to Bill Withers. A lovely day. Lovely day. Lovely day.
Lovely day. Ain't no sunshine. Day. Just the two of us. Use Me. One of my favorites, Use Me. And Grandma's Hands. I love the song, Grandma's Hands. Shout out to Bill Wither. Shout out to everybody for tuning in. We'll be back on Monday. Why is that, gentlemen?
We're not done.
We'll be back on Monday.